Yeah, with great humility. You may have noticed in the last few decades that America's kind of become obsessed with things that are politically correct. I don't think that has slipped by anyone. People want us to use language that's inoffensive, non-discriminatory, unbiased in any way. Language that's inclusive. Language that's neutral. Language that is always appropriate and never partisan in any way. Now, our language and our practices should never, ever offend anyone's sensibilities. As best I can figure, there is a new right that we all have that's not in the Bill of Rights, but we all have the right not to be offended. That's why I have so few friends. James Finn Garner, you may not know the name, but he's made a small fortune off political correctness, writing the little books, Politically Correct Bedtime Stories. Any of you have those? They're hilarious. Just making fun of the language. I'll do that here for just a moment. Change a couple of things to be politically correct. In the world of arachnids, no longer will we call her the Black Widow Spider. She will be the spider of color with unfortunate spousal circumstances. No longer will our beaches be terrorized by the great white shark. They will be terrorized instead by the moderately okay Caucasian shark. And no longer will children go outside to play cowboys and Indians. They will instead be playing livestock management technicians and indigenous peoples. Now, I'm not totally insensitive. I'm not totally insensitive. I do understand the original intent of striving to be politically correct, and I never really have a desire to offend too many people. But in America, it's reached the point of being bizarre. And I know all of you could give examples, not just of politically correct speech run amok, but also of actions. 5 students at a California high school were sent home on Cinco de Mayo for wearing shirts with American flags on them, because it could be offensive to the Mexican-American students. A teacher was suspended for giving a Bible to a student who asked for one. And we all have heard, one that's near and dear to my heart, military chaplains being asked to pray without using the name of Jesus. Which led to my favorite prayer, to whom it may concern. If you're there or not. You've got to be completely inclusive. And political correctness, it creeps like a fungus. It's made its way into the church. A couple of years ago, I got to attend for one day a presbytery meeting of the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church USA. And they had a group that I did not know existed called Language Matters. And they were all about, they were started to bring up the issue of inclusive language. But I want you to know how bizarre they had gotten, because they made a motion that we no longer use the name Lord, because that implies a master-servant relationship or slave. And they also encourage people not to talk about dark and light, as it might offend dark-skinned people. And it was really nice, because I was there that day to cheer on a particular congregation that was leaving the PCUSA. So I really felt they were justified in doing so. And to let you know something a little closer to home, Father Bill, would you share a story of something that happened?
this is. Well, back in 1989, when we were still in the Episcopal Church, there was a group of us called the Fellowship of St. Jude. There was eight priests in the Episcopal Church. We would get together, and we were praying for the continuation of the Episcopal Church in faith. But anyway, we put forth five resolutions on diocesan convention floor in 1989. One of them said that during the decade of evangelism, which was the 90s, okay, so this was in preparation for the decade of evangelism in the Anglican Communion, we put forth a resolution that said, we, the Diocese of Western North Carolina, proclaim during this decade of evangelism that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Pretty straightforward.
I've read that somewhere. Yeah.
It got defeated on the diocesan convention floor because it was not inclusive. I do want to share one really good comeback. There was this one priest who got up and he was saying, you know, this is ridiculous. How can I ever face my Jewish friends if we pass such a resolution? And Diane's husband was one of the delegates at the convention that year. And he didn't stand up and say it. He said, I wish I had thought of it at the moment. But I could have just said, well, we don't have to tell them. We could just let it be a surprise.
For many people. But the church, like society, you know, striving to be inclusive, and eventually, gradually, the church has become to look more and more like society instead of standing over and against society so they can speak to it. And the church has made itself pretty much irrelevant. And the problem with all this is that Holy Scripture is not politically correct.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is definitely not politically correct. And try to think of a group of people he did not make mad. Yeah, them too, yeah. Today you heard, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Could he have said anything more non-inclusive than that? Could he have alienated people in any other way more than he did by saying that? That's the first thing. What about the people who don't follow Jesus? I like to read works of the saints. Julian of Norwich, she was a visionary mystic, lived in a little bitty building all by herself. But she came to the conclusion that, as Scripture says, God is love, and that the passion is all about love, and God's interaction with us is all about love. And when people ask her, what about those people that don't know about Christ? She said, don't worry about them. They're in the hands of a loving God. That's not your concern. And a couple of years, probably about 12, 15 years ago, how old am I? I was invited. I was invited by another denomination, Brand X, to come to. They have an adult camp every year, Christian education for 1 week, and I was invited there to teach class on grace. At that time, I was a Lutheran, and Lutherans are supposed to know something about grace, I suppose, but. It was big with Martin anyway. And in one of the classes, this scripture passage came up in the lecture, and we talked about how important it is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Him. So, after the class, there was Marty came up, could be male or female with the name Marty. But anyway, she came up and she took exception with what I had said in that lecture. And I said, well, Marty, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And she still took exception with it. She told me she had friends. I have friends who are Buddhist. And I love them. And I love the teachings of Buddhism. I told her I sympathize with that because my major was religious studies. And my emphasis was in Eastern religions. She said, the best class I ever had was Buddhist philosophy. What do you want to talk about? She didn't want to talk. Because that was my way of finding out how much she actually did know about Buddhism. But she said that, and you have all heard this before, I believe that all religions are true. They are all paths up the same mountain. Just different paths up that same hill. And I had to tell her that while that's a beautiful sentiment and it would be really nice if it were true, it's not. I said, you just heard the words of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that didn't faze her in the least. She still felt like there were many paths. People like that are called pluralists. Pluralists believe all religions are true. You've seen their bumper sticker. What does it say?
Coexist.
Coexist. As if, you didn't want... I bear no ill will toward anyone in any other faith. Well, most of them anyway. But I used to joke and say, in the chaplaincy, they trained us in all these different prayers. So if you come across a Jewish soldier who's been wounded, you say the Shema with him. So if you come across a Muslim soldier who's wounded, you just shoot him and make sure he's dead. But that's not true. That's not true.
That's not
politically correct.
That's not true. But that all religions are different paths up the same hill is thoroughly, thoroughly a false statement. Now, when you read that, they will usually try to convince you by showing you teachings in other religions that are similar to things in Christianity. And their favorite one to do is the Golden Rule. Mm-hmm. The Golden Rule. Because from Hinduism, 3200 B.C., one should always treat others as they themselves wish to be treated. In Zoroastrianism, which is from the area of Iran, from Iraq, it is not the faith of Zoro. Has nothing to do with him. Yeah. But Zoroastrianism, whatever is disagreeable to yourself, do not do to others. That's nice. And Confucianism says, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Sounds very similar. And that would be very convincing if the Golden Rule was the main point and central to Christianity. It's not. That is not the core teachings of Christianity. That's what we say to children to make them be nice to each other. That's my mother's favorite verse. But there are 4,200 religions in the world. That's not counting the different sects of those groups or denominations. Are they the same? Are they all the same? Theravadan Buddhism has no God. Hinduism is polytheistic. Are they the same as monotheistic Christianity? I think not. And do you really want to tell your Jewish friends that you think they're the same as Rastafarians? Rastafarians believe that blacks are the chosen people. And their Messiah was the late Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia. I am not making this up. This is what I believe. And Rastafarians have a distinct code of behavior and dress that includes wearing dreadlocks, that includes smoking cannabis. The rejection of all Western medicine, and their diet excludes pork and shellfish. Well, right there it is. Pork and shellfish, they're just like Jews. Yeah, except for everything else that they believe, yeah.
Imagine living on an island and not being able to eat shellfish.
No. You would have to smoke cannabis to get over not eating shrimp, I think. But the hero of the pluralist is a man named John Hicks. Fortunately, he died in 2012. But in his writings, he led people to believe that all religions at the core, as their very core, are the same, that their core teachings are the same. And nothing could be further from the truth. They are not. In fact, I would not encourage you to read anything he wrote, even though he was from the Reformed Christian tradition. He began to question his own tradition in light of this. What's the one thing that makes Christianity so unique? Anybody want to?
Jesus.
It's the only religion out of those 4,200 was started by someone who claimed to be God. It's the incarnation. That's not the only unique thing, but one of the most unique. So Hicks had to write a book called The Myth of the Incarnation, for which he was severely punished by the Presbyterians. He was disciplined and had his credentials taken away from him. I mean, I understand. It would be nice to think that, oh yeah, at the core, there's one God, and we all believe the same thing. It's not true. Pluralists say all religions are true, and on the other end, you have atheists who say none of them are true. And in the middle, you have Jesus Christ who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How much more politically incorrect can you get than that? That torques people off on both sides. It is not politically correct. Most certainly not. But it is most certainly true. And we talked about, I already mentioned how unique Christianity is. And there is nothing like Christianity. There may be similarities here and there, but Jesus claims there's only one path. It's a narrow one, too. He talks about it. It leads to a narrow door. But there's only one path up the mountain, and there's only one way up that path, and it's Jesus Christ. We have a politically incorrect God. And He calls us to be just as politically incorrect as He is. Now, in our politically correct society, people consider it rude, and they consider it an act of arrogance for you to share your faith. Because when you share your faith with someone, you're judging them. You're saying whatever they believe isn't as good as what you believe. Because it's true. It's not. You're saying that they're lacking in some way. And I think because of what people think, Christians back off. They don't share their faith. So they don't want to be seen as rude or arrogant or imposing. But, you know, you just heard that wonderful story from Acts today. You know, Paul getting chased from town to town. because he can't stop telling the story. These men who've turned the world upside down, they've come here. Wouldn't it be great if they said, boy, us people that come from resurrection and turned the world upside down, they're here. They're all over Asheville. At the beginning of the service, we had a very, very, very old hymn that we sang. Anybody know who wrote the first hymn we sang? St. Francis. 1182 to 1226. Wow. That's why he had his phone out. I asked him to look up St. Francis. All creatures of our God and King, St. Francis. I mention St. Francis not just because he had the opening hymn, but it does kind of tie this in. Francis said that you should share the gospel, proclaim the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. The way you live. Are you living as if you have a relationship with the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? But you also can proclaim it. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. And it's really not that embarrassing. I was embarrassed because I didn't share. And I may have told you about this. I had lunch with a missionary who works for Camino Global. That's working with Hispanics around the globe. And he stayed in our house for a while he was here in Asheville on business. And we go to lunch, and furthest thing from my mind, I know we're going to say grace. But the waitress comes up, and he takes her gently by the arm and looks up at her and says, we were just getting ready to pray. Is there anything in your life we can pray for? And she opened up to him. It just flowed out like water. And we prayed for her. And got free desserts. Don't do it for the free dessert. Do it so that you can share what you have. If what we have is true, if it's true that Jesus is the only way and we don't share it, that's criminal. That's absolutely criminal. And are we being judgmental when we do that? Yes, we are. That's okay. Everybody's judgmental. Being judgmental is not a bad thing, except when they say it. You're being judgmental. Yes, I am. But we are being judgmental based on the truth of Holy Scripture, not on relativism, not on political correctness. Because if people are not following the one way, they're going the wrong way. It's that simple. If they do not know Jesus as the truth, then they need to know that their alternative truth is actually a lie. And if they do not know that Jesus is the life, they're walking in the darkness of death. It's that simple. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that's not political correctness. It's biblical correctness. It's spiritual correctness. And that's what we're called to share. That Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Amen.